Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. oracle.com/insights.
I'm glad that was on the recording.
Lovely bang. Yeah, great start.
I'm putting down my monstrous pint glass.
It's not me. I went through the ceiling. Or through the floor. It's not going to go through the ceiling as well. The ceiling on the other side of the floor.
I didn't throw it, did I?
Warning, this podcast may contain any chatter, but also bad language and content that some listeners may find offensive, but it probably won't. And we have a guest today, and it was actually pretty damn awesome.
We have a lot of guests on, and we want you to support all our guests. But this is something that, especially, well, it's UK-based at the moment, but please, 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 like, at the end, follow up on those links, because it's only going to help you, and it costs nothing.
Uncle Sam needs you. Also, Selena is on the podcast.
I got the guest, just saying.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast.
With your hosts, T, Cleves, and Selena.
Every week, bringing some much-needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Hello, one and all, to Seesaw Podcast, the show that is accessible as you want it to be if you use the Welcome web app. This week, we have a fantastic guest. We have Gavin Neat from Welcome, or Welcome Me, as it comes up on screen readers. Really great chat.
Genuinely great stuff. Here's Gavin Neat. Give it a listen. And I'm going to say it now, but we'll say it afterwards. Visit your local Currys after going on the Welcome app if you're in the West Midlands.
So today on the podcast, I'm pleased to have founder, creator, innovator of Welcome, Gavin Neat. Hello.
Hello. That was too easy. Hello!
Hello. So for our listeners, before we jump into what Welcome is all about, tell us a bit about you. Who is Gavin?
So born in England, brought up in the Highlands of Scotland, where I am right now. Went to primary school up here, then secondary school in central Scotland. Then I joined the military, and I was in the RAF as a police dog handler for 10 years, where I served all around the world, first Gulf War out in Cyprus. And then I came back, and my last tour took me to Lucas, which is in the east of Scotland, which is very close to Guide Dogs for the Blind in Forfar. And I used to go along and do voluntary work for Guide Dogs of the Blind, showing people around the kennels and stuff like that. And then as I got close to the end of my time in the military, I was going, wow, what can I do next? And it just seemed like an obvious thing to me that I would join Guide Dogs of the Blind. So I joined Guide Dogs of the Blind thinking that I would be a dog trainer, but very quickly realized that I actually really wanted to be a mobility instructor. The difference between dog trainer and mobility instructor is the mobility instructor trains people how to use the dog. So we're a little bit less hands-on than the dog trainer. The dog trainer is all about the dog, whereas I was actually more about the person than about the dog. And nothing gave me greater joy than giving the person the dog and then never talking to it again. The dog was very unhappy because the dog would look at me and go, Dad, why are you ignoring me? And then that took me into the world of technology because 1999, when I joined Guide Dogs, was the start of PCs and things like that. And then people turned up to train with their guide dogs and they would take their technology out and I would just end up talking about their technology to them. So that's, yeah, potted history.
It sounds like that leads us really well onto what you're doing now, which is you're the CEO and founder of Welcome, or Welcome Me, as the readers will read it.
Yeah, either's good.
So what is Welcome? Like, where did you start with the idea and what goes into that?
It took a long time, but it was based on my experience as a mobility instructor, watching my clients every day. And thinking, that shouldn't be like that. Why is that like that? That shouldn't be that way. And I was thinking that at the same time as people were turning up to train with their guide dogs and they would take their mobile phone out and their mobile phone would talk to them. And they had voiceover on it or talk back or something like this. And then people were talking more about how they were using their television and how they were banking and how they were writing emails and how they were joining WhatsApp groups or Facebook groups and things like that. And I just became more and more interested in how my clients were using technology. I was standing next to a pedestrian crossing one day and my client was finding it really hard to find the button, to press the button because it was at the far right-hand side of the crossing. And I thought, wouldn't it be good if the mobile phone could press the button for them? That was in 2012. And I then spent a year asking clever people to actually do stuff for me. And at the end of 2012, I had invented the world's first pedestrian crossing operated by smartphones. So you stand next to the pedestrian crossing and your phone presses the button for you, which back in now you think, oh, that's fairly simple stuff. But in 2012, nobody had ever even thought of that. So I then was in a position where I was like, well, wait a second, the mobile phone could be used for loads of stuff because more and more of my clients have got a mobile phone. But one of the things that I did as a mobility instructor was I would be on the shoulder of my client all the time, or as they became more independent with their dog, I would get further away from them. And then I would talk to them at the end of the walk until eventually they were on their own. But I would walk into a shop with them and then they would go into the shop, they would go up to the counter or somebody would approach them. And I would stand sort of like looking at my mobile phone or looking through a magazine rack or just trying to sort of not get involved, because as soon as I got involved, it would kind of mess the whole relationship up. But I would observe them from a distance and I would listen to the staff member and I would listen to my client. And I would always ask myself a question, why is my client having to train the staff member? Why is my client having to say things like, please don't talk to my dog? Sorry, could you tell me, is it on the left or the right? You said over there. And I was like, why is the staff member never really understanding how to interact? So I then used to run ahead of my client and I would talk to the staff member before my client walked through the door. And then my client would walk through the door and they would do all the things correctly. They would go, hello, my name is Michael. I am the concierge here at such and such a place. If you'd like to take my arm, I'll give you sighted guide. And I was like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if staff were trained 20 minutes before they met a disabled person? Which you go, yeah, of course, that would make perfect sense. So ultimately, that's what I did. I found a way to train staff 20 minutes before they meet disabled people. And 2018 launched Welcome, which amazingly, I had invented the world's first proximity-based staff training tool for disability awareness, which is madness. But I did. And yeah, it is what it is. And it does what it does. It's pretty cool. Disabled people say they're going somewhere, that automatically triggers training in the person who recognizes them when they walk through the door. And then they put that training into place, and not just for visual impairment. I'm talking all disabilities here, any disability.
So how exactly does that work then? Does a disabled person sort of log onto an app and say where they're going?
Yeah, so it's a web app rather than an app. We started out with an app, but it was really challenging to maintain it. And it's very hard to launch it in lots of different countries. And then there's lots of software that you have to be doing. So we actually made it into a web app. which means that you go to a website, you set up a profile, you then look down a list of venues, you pick the venue that you want to go to, you say you're going, and that triggers training at the venue with regards to you going to it. But that's how it was originally. And then what happened was we integrated into people's websites. So if you go to one of the websites, and there's a good one, if you go to the Wave Coventry Access for All, that will take you to a page. If you scroll down the page, you'll eventually get to our widget, which is contained within the website, where you just book your visit through the widget on their website, and that does it all for you. But of course, once you've set up a profile, you've then got access to all other 220 odd venues that we've got around the country. It's growing all the time. So a web app that allows disabled people to set up a profile and then say they're going somewhere, which automatically triggers training at the venue they're going to.
On this profile, do they put in their needs and what their disability is and things like that?
So we don't use the word disability anywhere in the system. What we say, what would you like people to have awareness of? So if somebody's living with Parkinson's, it might be, well, I don't need them to know I'm living with Parkinson's, in which case you put in undisclosed condition, a bit like a sunflower lanyard. But of course, it's a bit more discreet than a sunflower lanyard. But if you want people to learn a little bit about lipidemia or motor neurons disease or epilepsy or dyslexia or diabetes, or if you want to learn people to learn about disabilities, then you can say, yeah, I want them to know about lipidemia. I want them to know how that affects me and how it might affect other people, because I would rather they were trained in these different conditions. Let's face it, all the way through the year, we have disability awareness days. And every single one of those days, we tell people about that particular disability. What we're doing is we're turning every day we want to go somewhere into as much or as little of a disability awareness day as we want it to be. You could say, I'm coming into the shop. I don't need any help. I just want you to know that I'm there. So if I did have an emergency, you would understand how my needs were when you came up to me. So in brief, there's a photograph. There's an overview of a condition you might want somebody to have awareness of. There are top tips on how to interact with anyone with that condition, not just you. And there are direct links to the charity that gave us the information, so staff members can go for a deeper dive. They can watch videos. They can go to campaigns pages. They can do loads of things around that particular condition. But they can also, the disabled person can also put in a message. So I want to buy a pair of size 9 trousers. I've come to see the doctor that I know I need the nurse to take bloods. I'm coming to see this movie. I need to go to the toilet before I go into the screen. Yeah, so that's pretty much what you do. The staff member gets a picture, an overview, the name, a message from you as to what to want to do, and a little bit of training as to how best they could help you.
That all sounds pretty good on paper. But how, in your experience, how good are the actual companies and staff members at actually putting that into practice? Is it just something that they have on their website to look good, but then they never actually take any notice of the message? Or have you actually seen it in practice?
No. I've seen it lots in practice. And within 24 hours, anybody that uses Welcome gets an email that says, how well did they do? And that message goes directly to the team to say how well they did. And we hold them to account. And anybody who signs up for this is basically engaged. They're paying for it. The venue is paying a monthly subscription to use this service. If they were getting, and we don't get bad reviews, but if they were getting a bad review, then we would talk to them. They would talk to themselves. They'd be like, yeah, we need to improve. So yeah, it's got weights and measures and checks and balances all the way through to ensure that a certain level is maintained. That said, sooner or later, somebody's going to really mess up and they go, I don't care about Welcome, and you can bloody stuff it. And trust me, on that day, they're going to feel a bit of wrath on our social media. But no, look, if somebody wants to put it in for a year and use it, if they don't get any use out of it, absolutely fine. But this is a way of saying that you can do something and actually providing it. Also, when anybody ever books, so let's say somebody's going to a particular cinema, my team get a message to say somebody's coming to that cinema. I can see how quickly it takes them to accept the visit. Once I see how quickly they've accepted it, I know that that venue is actually engaging with it. The disabled person who goes into that venue then is interacted by somebody who, if they don't do certain things, the disabled person knows that, and then they can report back on it.
So obviously we see about access refusals and access issues all over the country. So yeah. is this a way of sort of encouraging companies to be better, or is there anything you're doing as well as this to try and negate those issues that are coming up? Like recently I saw on Twitter, I think a Hilton hotel expressly says on their website they do not accept service dogs at all.
Yeah, and that was more like a typo than anything else. It was a mistake on their part. It wasn't anybody sitting around a table and saying, we don't want assistance dogs. It was a mistake rather than anybody actually saying, here's a policy. I normally find that when you dig into something, you very seldom find that they actively want to discriminate. It's more likely a staff training problem. It's normally a first point of contact security guard or receptionist. It's generally not the owner of Hilton standing on the door and saying, no, we don't accept guide dogs. Mm-hmm. But that said, I believe there is a need for complaint. Complaint's really important. But anybody that puts welcome in, I'm not sure I'm going to say guarantee, but I would say I'm 99.9% sure that will never be a guide dog access refusal at a venue that's got welcome in it. It will just get rid of all issues where there's refusals. And I was a mobility instructor for 18 years. This is one of the reasons this exists. I need to explain to people that the reason somebody discriminates is because they're uneducated in how they should not discriminate. And if you can educate them half an hour before they have an opportunity to discriminate, you can actually improve how they interact with disabled people.
Totally agree. We've said that a lot on this show before, actually, about people that discriminate. It is because they're uneducated. We have said that a lot here. And for someone like myself, then, if I signed up to this platform, how much notice would I have to give to a shop before I went?
So it depends on the shop. You may normally find that somebody might think that they need to give 6 hours at the start, but they very quickly realize that 2 hours is enough. But you can also just turn up. There's absolutely no reason why you can't just turn up somewhere, and you should be able to turn up. But if you think about all of the different venues that you need to book, so a doctor's appointment, they know you're coming probably 2 weeks before you even turn up. A restaurant, you're probably having to book the table. You can just turn up to restaurants, obviously. But if you want to avoid somebody saying no dogs allowed at a restaurant, then book ahead. And then you go, oh, I've got a guide dog. And they go, oh, no problem at all. We know exactly how to interact with you if you've got a guide dog. So I think that I would like to get to a stage where everybody can go everywhere and never face any kind of discrimination. But the way that we learn as humans means that that's never going to happen. In tourism alone, or hospitality, or retail, the turnover of staff is so high that if you did training for all of your staff 1 year and it cost you £200,000 to deliver training for 100 people, and you trained them in every single condition, and you did all of that training and that person left, you'd have to start from scratch with the next staff member. And I think that's something that we have to take into consideration, but we very seldom do. We expect everybody to know everything.
Yeah.
Because we just talk about visual impairment. And we go, yeah, it's kind of obvious. Introduce yourself. I don't know who I'm talking to if I don't introduce yourself. Wait a second. Talking to somebody who's visually impaired who lip reads, don't have a light source behind you, because that means that they can't see your lips because you've got a light source behind you. Well, that's pretty easy as well. But wait a second. What if somebody's autistic? What about turning music down? You suddenly start thinking of 31 different disabilities and 31 different conditions and then a million different people, and you've got a very difficult situation for a 19-year-old in Costa Coffee to actually deal with. But we're expecting them to get it right every time. And then if they don't, they've probably got a GoPro in their face and they're all over Twitter the next day.
Yeah,
I believe in a world where people aren't discriminated against. But I also believe that we need to make sure that we look after people in customer service, because we want people, good people in customer service, who go, do you know what? I love giving good customer service, but I don't want to be in a situation where every single time a disabled person walks through the door, the staff member goes, I'm avoiding getting to shit here, because you're not going to get good customer service in that situation. In fact, you're probably going to get people running away.
Totally agree. So where can I actually go then? So at the minute on Welcome, what shops have signed up?
So we've got about 220 venues, but quite a few of them are what we call enterprise clients. So we just launched with Levi's the other day. We've got about 13 Levi's stores from Glasgow, Belfast, Dublin, Manchester, Gretna, lots of Levi's stores. We've launched with 20 Curry stores across the West Midlands just recently. And today, so you guys get an exclusive, we launched with the NHS. So we now have our very first hospital, which is Golden Jubilee Hospital in Glasgow. And they love it. They did all the launch themselves and they've just launched it. So
why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. oracle.com/insights.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context. Plus, tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
We're in lots of venues, but nowhere near as many as we could be in 200 venues in one town, for God's sake. But this is key for me. And this is my world of as a mobility instructor. I want disabled people to tell me where they want it. And not just tell me, I want them to turn around to IKEA and say, I'd like to see you put welcome in. What's welcome? What's this new system that lets you know about me turning up? Oh, we didn't hear about that. Can you tell us a bit more? Yeah, you just go to well-co.me and you'll see their website and then you can contact them. And then one disabled person does that. And then the following week, another disabled person goes, you should have welcome. And before long, you've got 1,000 people saying, oh, you need to get welcome. And then they go, yeah, I think we're going to get welcome. Or at least we're going to have a conversation about it. So we ask disabled people where they want us. And they can go to our help section within the service. They can request a venue. They can say, I want you in my local Sainsbury's. We will contact Sainsbury's and we will say, we've now got 1,500 people saying you should have welcome.
Yeah.
If you think about it from the point of view of going through a charity where they say, we want you to sign a petition, you can have 50,000 signatures on a petition and it will get raised in the House of Commons. And it won't necessarily go anywhere after that. Guarantee you, if I had 50,000 people say IKEA should have welcome, IKEA would have welcome. 10,000, yep. 5,000, 1,000 would probably do it, because they're going to spend what, £60 to £100 a month on welcome as a service, and disabled people are going to spend that in their store. So why wouldn't you want to provide better service?
And like the purple pound, would you say that's a thing then that they need to be thinking about more, these companies?
Yes, but no, but yes, but no. This is so frustrating. I've heard so many people talk about the purple pound. We all talk about it, but prove it. Where is it? So I put welcome into, and this is just frustrating on the part of, this is where I need to draw a line between the two. I need to go, well, freaking prove it. We've got 20 stores across the West Midlands that are all curries. And I put a call out to newspapers, to different disability service providers, to disabled people all over the West Midlands saying, and Curry said, if you can get 50 visits in the space of 6 weeks, that's 50 people just going to Curry's, anybody at all who's disabled going to Curry's, then we will look at a national rollout. And all of our social media is 50 visits in 6 weeks. We've got a national rollout. We can prove the Purple Pound exists. So far, we've had 6 visits in 4 weeks. So look, we can shout at business. We can shout at society until we're blue in the face. But sooner or later, we actually have to prove it's true. And if somebody says, right, I have made a perfectly accessible building, and you've told me you wanted it to be accessible, you complained that you needed it to be accessible, I've made sure all of my staff are trained, but people aren't coming, and you go, well, why not? Well, we were just saying it because we wanted to tell you you weren't good enough. And you go, no, we have to use people. We actually have to prove that the Purple Pound exists by using the services that are offering the best practice to us. So I think it's a big challenge. It's more messaging. I need to get the message out there that this exists. People then need to get used to using it and then start talking about it. And that's my job.
With regards to this, is it just yourself that is working on this project, or have you got other people working for you as well?
There's 2 people in my company. So it's been quite challenging, as you might imagine. But we have lots of supporters. We use things like external development teams, and we have external marketing teams and stuff like that. But there's 2 people basically in the company. And it's a lot of hard work. And I've been doing this nonstop. It's not like I take holidays or wages or anything like that. I live in a motorhome, for God's sake. I stay in people's houses looking after their animals. You make sacrifices. I'm single and I don't have children, so those sacrifices are a lot easier for me.
Okay, I was leading somewhere with this. Maybe introduce a 0 hours commission-based scheme, and then that way people who are disabled can take a percentage of subscriptions scheme, and then they potentially empowered to work.
So we have, I totally, you've hit the nail on the head. We have a partnership agreement, and the partnership agreement can be signed by anybody. If somebody said, I want to get all the venues in my town to use Welcome, and they wanted to come into partnership with us, and they went out there and they sold it, if they were the actual conduit for it happening, not just Gavin, here's a phone number for you, but I've been in, I've talked about it, then they would get paid for that. They'd get a percentage of any sale that they make in order to do that. But you can't just open that up to people, because it might be somebody makes no sales at all and they also aren't the right employee, in inverted commas. But I think you have to find the right people to do this. You can't have people going in there and strong arming, for instance. It has to be an understanding that you're helping the business rather than forcing them to use stuff. So that has to be the right person in order to do that. But I have no problem at all. I would love basically a country full of disabled people who are partnered with Welcome, who are just basically going around getting into all of their local venues. What I didn't want to do is get them to do that without and say, I'll go and do all this for free. It's always been really challenging for me to ask anybody to do anything for free. But when you're starting out and you've got no money, we're a SaaS model company, and I can't pay people. So I just want people to use it. And if they like it, a bit like Uber doesn't tell you to tell somebody about Uber's a bad example. Airbnb doesn't tell you to tell somebody else about Airbnb. You do it because you use Airbnb and go, I used Airbnb. You might get money off if you recommended somebody, and I think that's not a bad thing. But generally speaking, I just want people to use it and go, bloody hell, this is brilliant. I'm going to use it more and tell other people about it. But I take your point, and let's have a chat, because if you fancied getting your local cinema and your local council involved and you wanted to enter into a partnership agreement with my company, then I'd be over the moon.
What I like is what you're doing. It's proactive as opposed to just being a passive, oh, it's there. And I think there are other schemes out there and ideas and other concepts in the disability space that are they're there, but they're not necessarily pushing them. And there's a lot of work that's going to, where this is proactive, it's the companies, they want to be involved in this, and that's such an important thing, because you're getting the buy-in on both sides. It's just about getting it out there.
It just takes time. It does take time, but the people who've used Welcome absolutely love it. In fact, right, this lady wrote to me, and I didn't know, I wasn't connected on LinkedIn. Hi Gavin, I've just seen your post regarding curries and wanted to thank you for creating this amazing service. As a deaf person, it can be quite intimidating opening a conversation with a staff member or anyone who is not prepped on my communication needs and who I have no idea of how they will react to me. Your solution would also potentially minimize the anxiety and disruption I constantly get from other shoppers who want to pet and therefore distract my assistance dog. Thank you. This is a fantastic idea and a great excuse for me to treat myself to something new from Curry's. My local store is participating. I work in the tech software industry and I am a big supporter of improved access for disabled people. So your product is impressive to me from both a work and personal perspective, and I look forward to following its progress. You get that and you just go, whoa, I don't even need to be paid. If I got one of those a day, I would walk around with a spring in my step.
And that's the important thing. It's like getting those testimonials of people actually using the service. And it's something definitely that I would take advantage of.
I have a question. You know, some of the bigger stores, they already have something like this in place, because Tesco's like to think that if you turn up to Tesco and go to the customer service desk, all of a sudden they'll have someone on hand to take you around the shop.
If you go to the customer service desk, sooner or later, somebody may be available to help you. And the customer service desk is where to go if you do want help. However, the person who meets you is probably going to say something along the lines of, oh, what happened to you then? Oh, you in the wars? Oh, what? They're gonna say something, which they're just trying to make conversation, but they're going to be discriminatory in doing customer service. Whereas if you can just give them a couple of bits of information before you arrive, well, that will be good for you because they've just learned a little bit about how best to interact with you. But the next time they interact with a disabled person, there's a very good chance that they're going to be good for them as well. Because ultimately, this is about staff training. It's not training just for me. It's training for anybody who's disabled, even somebody who's not got that particular condition. But guaranteed, if I walk through the door with a guide dog, and then the next day, another guide dog owner walks through the door, and they're not even using Welcome, that staff member will remember, is more likely to remember the stuff that they put into practice the day before.
And is there an area, either shops or cinemas or concert venues or things like that, that you think need to be targeted the most, that are the worst for it, generally speaking?
That's a super question, actually. So because when we started, we were like, bloody hell, this could go anywhere. So it was a bit like a horse race where you were backing all the horses. But the one where we've had the most success recently, or the two, three, hospitality. So we've signed up quite a few hotels recently. Retail. Battersea Power Station in London Shopping Centre, both Westfield Shopping Centres, the St. James Quarter, Arndale Centre, Liverpool One, we're looking at it just now. So shopping centres where you can go to a customer service desk, that's one that's been useful. And the other one is councils, libraries and leisure centres within councils, because they have a duty of care. The one that I get really excited about myself is polling stations. The one that I want to do in the future, I want disabled people to know they can go to a polling station and meet a returning officer who understands how to interact with them before they get to the door. I started on that route last year because we won a contract with the Scottish Parliament to install it in all MSP constituency offices. So every MSP can have it in their constituency office. So if a disabled person wants to go and see their MSP, obviously MP, but North, then they can plan their visit knowing that the staff at the constituency office will understand how to interact with them. We want more disabled people voting. The more disabled people voting or going to see their MSP or MP, the more they'll be represented in Parliament. And the more they're represented, the more we'll never have to get 50,000 signature petition to make sure that we have a disability minister. Yeah. We'll just have them because they'll all be freaking disability ministers. Politics, that's the big one. Can you imagine it in America? Yeah. I love that idea. Polling stations, one day.
So what's on the agenda for the rest of the year? Like, what have you got lined up?
We just launched with the health service today, and depending on how that goes, and they trialled it, so they know it's got really good potential. Curry's, if we will manage to get to the magic 50 for this trial that we've got in the West Midlands, Curry's are saying we would be interested in rolling it out to 300 stores. Levi's have got 75 stores. We installed it with City of Westminster Council in three buildings, and they've just launched it in all of their libraries and all their leisure centres. They now have 38 buildings using Welcome. So who knows where it will go, but it's going to be busy, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So I think that's all the questions for me, unless, Selina, you have some hiding in the background.
honestly, this all just sounds really good and something I'll definitely be using. I think my local curries in Leicestershire is on your list.
Please. Yes, before the 28th. In fact, could you do it 40 times in a row? That would be really useful.
They might get suspicious. Or they'll be really good at helping me.
I think you could get away with doing it once or twice would be perfect. But if you've got any friends in the area, then just say, please go and give it a shot. I'm really keen to do it because Curry's, the staff at Curry's were so excited. The actual staff on the ground were like, I can't wait to meet my first disabled person knowing that I'm doing the right thing. And then some of them have sat there and gone, nobody's booking. So you're kind of like, please.
Cool.
Yeah. So you listening at home, if you're in the UK, have a look. The links will be in the show notes, of course. But have a look, see what's near you. And we want to see these numbers go up, especially for Curry's. But we're using the service in any format because we really want to get a good move on this because it's such a great thing that you're doing, Gavin.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I live and breathe this stuff. I'm going to be disabled one day, as we all will. Most people will. And we all need to take these into consideration. The biggest minority in the world.
Absolutely.
Just before you go, where can people find you? Where can they log on to use the service?
Well, I love it when people connect with me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a great place because I've written loads of articles on this. So if people want to find me, they'll find me on LinkedIn at Gavin Neate, N-E-A-T-E. But if they want to, they can come to well-co.me. That just trips off my tongue, but I know in people's brains they're like, what? So well-co.me, and they'll get to our website, and then they'll be able to sign up. If they go to visitors, they can sign up. The other thing that they can do, if they've got a profile, my.well-co.me.
Brilliant.
Incredible. And as always, the show notes will have the links directly. But Gavin, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's been great having you on, and I'm very excited to see what happens going forwards because you're doing great work, and I look forward to engaging. I want to give this a go.
Yeah, thank you so much, and give me some feedback, and we can improve it all the time. So if there's something you want better, just let us know. And thank you so much for being a guest on your podcast. It's a super thing to be doing.
Thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you. And we're back. Oh my God, that was just refreshing. Someone who's actually on our page with thinking, I feel like this is something to shout about.
It's like actually trying to do something positive and it benefits everyone. So you've got to get involved. Listening to this, if you're in the UK, and yeah, if it just takes you half a minute to let some place know that you're coming before you go, then do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to my Curry's. I don't know what to look for, though. What do you think I should be looking for in my Curry's? I don't really need anything at the moment, but I want to support the cause.
And it might be all we need is you get down to your local Curry's by the 28th. You're helping Curry's, you're helping Welcome, you're helping disabled people everywhere.
And there's no obligation to buy anything. Even if you just want to browse and get an idea of your options, it still counts.
Have a little potter about. Bit of a day out, isn't it?
So, as always, all the contact links and website will be in the show notes. Please support what Gavin's doing. It's great stuff. And until next time, yeah, maybe send us a little message. Let us know what you want to be accessible in your local area. And then tell Gavin and his team.
But until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
You can find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com. And you can stream with us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review, and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.
If you're a regular listener to the show, you will know that this is not part two of our debate about cancel culture. And that's for two reasons. One, the episode ran long and I could not be fucked to do the edit. And two, and more importantly, it gives you more time to go to your local Curry's, especially if you're in the West Midlands. Go out, get it done, support the cause. And we'll see you next week.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insights. That's oracle.com/insights. oracle.com/insights.